coming to you live from the Florida State Fairgrounds in beautiful Tampa, Florida. We are keeping you plugged in with Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 on episode 350 of F5 Live. Refreshing technology.
This week, we have makers, shakers, and something else.
Shake and bake? That's something different. Probably movers.
Movers.
A bunch of stuff.
Sorry, that's me. I don't have it in front of me. Just making stuff up today.
We're making it.
We are. We're making stuff right here. And there is certainly a smell, and it is not this the
spray paint.
Normal
spray paint.
We're at one of these conventions smell.
It is not that.
No, there's a lot of new technology around here is really what it is.
You, my friend, my dapper individual, must be talking about that new tech smell.
Indeed I am.
Scott, I know why.
Why is that?
I know why. I have a theory. It could be because I think that
this show right here.
This one right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And we're here.
We are. I see us.
I've been seeing us here. You for hours
I see
now.
Us all
it's
over
crazy.
There. There's lots of us today.
Wow. No, there is. We have more people on staff.
There are more people today in addition to being more cameras and more places.
More everything. More bars. No, that's something
not
different.
Not that.
Hey, we are here wherever you may be and however you may be accessing our show. There's a bunch of ways today, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv, the podcast publisher Play app available in the Windows Store, on our new home, over on the live stream, the Tech Podcast Network live stream, or, of course, on our apps, pluckitslive.com/apps. Get it for the Windows environment, the whole ecosystem, desktop, Surface, tablet, and the phone, and, of course, for the webOS, because that is a thing. It is a thing.
I've got a half a dozen devices sitting on the desk back at the studio right now.
Yes, so thanks for making us part of your day, but, of course, there's one place you can go to get all of the content as it happens on your phone, computer, or tablet, and that's by going to F5Live.tv. Click the subscribe button. It's on the right-hand side. Bunch of stuff's over there. Audio, video, social, special events, Pilch Point, Nightcap, bunch of things that on tonight's show, today's show,
right now
will
show.
Not be on that show.
It's true. There will be no Pilch Point
you
today.
Can subscribe to.
There will be no Nightcap. And because of that, of course, you want to go subscribe.
You have to.
Because you can't see him today.
Well, I mean, you're on some Family Guy post-production thing going on.
I will destroy you.
And
everything you hold dear.
And tonight, you could probably get maybe 3 weeks ago's Nightcap if you subscribe. Who knows? I'm not one to decide that. That's up to you guys. But this is a big episode.
It is.
For many reasons.
It will be the longest single episode we have ever done. It could stretch up to 4 hours, and the longest that we've done under our brand until today, I think, has been a little over two.
Yep.
And that was for CES 09.
Yeah, that sounds right.
When the WebOS stuff was announced, actually.
That was a great
That
moment.
Was the night that I think we have our longest show. Until
now,
today.
Huh. There's another big occasion happening.
What's
tonight.
That?
Episode 350.
It's true.
Raise the roof. It's a big roof. I'm raising all
it's
of it.
It's way up there.
You can't even tell I'm raising
it. I can't reach it.
Because it feels like I am.
We couldn't even reach that bar earlier to put up our banner. I can't get anywhere close to the ceiling.
Raising the bar.
Get out.
And then also, another reason why this event is huge is because it's Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 as
Indeed.
I shake the table by pointing on it. Flip the table. Make a table? Something about tables.
No, tables all look like they were handmade.
They do. Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 here at the Florida State Fairgrounds. This is fun. This is where tinkerers and doers take place and come together to show off their wares,
it's
so
true.
To speak. And it's awesome.
It's true. Well, we are running a little behind, so there's a couple of things we need to handle.
Yes.
First,
chat with us.
We want – well, first, I want to wish our business partner Mark Lauder happy 45th birthday. He's here spending his birthday with us, which is really cool. We also want to thank the people who are in the studio helping make this possible today. We've got Carla, who many of our regular viewers will recognize. She's helped us with E3 before.
Everything that goes wrong.
She's in the studio with us often, so she's running sound and broadcast for us today.
Awesome.
We've also got one of our regular viewers, who, if you're normally in the chat room, you'll probably recognize her as Mimi Schell.
Yep.
She is here volunteering. We've also got a member of Team Duct Tape, Ryder, who's here volunteering.
Yep.
And then we've also got Mark, who's spending the day with us as well.
Yes.
So, and then we've got our sponsor, which we probably...
Yes, we're going to do that in just a second. If you want to chat with us, you can do so live in the studio, f5live.tv/join us. Chat with us.
Paying attention.
Tell us about things. Follow us on Twitter, at PlugHitsLive, of course, using the hashtag GCMakers for Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014. Now, it is time to get this show on the road.
It's true.
Let's do that. This year's Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014 coverage is proudly powered by Kraos.
And the new Meteor smartwatch by Kraos. It's really a clever device. You can get it with a variety of bands, a variety of colors. There's nothing we're going to be able to do about that. A variety of bands, male and female, a variety of colors. If you don't like it as a watch, no problem. You can actually wear it like a stopwatch. It's got health and fitness capabilities to it, all built into it. One of the best things is works with iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
My favorite part.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So you can pre-order the Meteor by Kraos by going to f5live.tv/Meteor.
Easy. Done. So we have a fully packed show today. People are going to come in and out. It's going to be nuts. And I think there's no better way to start than by... How do I want to put this nicely?
Well, while she sets up, you'll do it in a second.
Yeah.
For those of you who are watching us live right now, you are getting a single camera shot, which is the full width shot.
Yes.
For people watching later, you're getting the produced version, which will have us right now and not the full wide shot.
Yes,
and with that said, there is somebody to our left who our live viewers know about already and are... produced version do not yet, and that is, go ahead, give your
This is fantastic. Yes,
it's somebody a lot of our regular special events viewers will recognize. And is still having trouble with her headset on try number three.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's my heartbeat. You hear,
I'd like to welcome one of the people responsible for bringing us closer involved in the Tampa Bay community in 1,565 ways. Terry Willingham.
Hello, I am happy to be here.
It's like
good
we've
to have
just
you here.
Done this.
Yeah, we did.
It
wasn't that long
like
ago.
We just did this.
But I still can't put the headset on. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So
there's some forms of technology will always escape me. Yeah.
It seems like every time we see you, you're in a new capacity. And today's capacity is as?
I am the organizer of Gulf Coast MakerCon 2014.
Which is where we're sitting right now. Hooray!
Yeah.
Look at that, how that works out.
So I bet people can guess why we're here.
Because it's awesome and fun.
Indeed.
And you guys showcase awesome and fun stuff.
We do.
It's true, we do. And this has really been a fun event. We've been here since before opening. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of very varied... exhibitors.
It's eclectic.
It really is.
Yeah.
We've got everything from 3D printers to...
Furrier to art studio to blacksmiths to tabletop gaming, robots, always robots.
There's always robots when you're around. That's
it really is. Now, here's what I want to know for those, because I want to know, and I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners want to know, how did this all get started in... I know you said earlier.
Yeah.
This is
like my brain threw up.
Your brain threw up and is in real life now. This is your brain in real life.
Yeah.
But how did it start?
Probably about 3 years ago, I learned that the big maker festivals were actually doing smaller versions of maker fairs. They were called mini maker fairs. And I thought, oh, I want to do that. And whenever I say, oh, I want to do that, I go out and do it. That's the whole idea of these things. And so I did Tampa.
That is definitely who you are.
I want to do that. Gets me in trouble sometimes. But Tampa Bay Mini Maker Fair 2012 was our first event, and we did that at the University Area Community Development Center on 22nd Street near USF.
Okay.
And that was enormously fun. We expected 100 people. We got 350. And yeah, a little sharp there, huh? And the second year we did it in Pasco County, and we expected I guess 300 people or so, because mm-hmm. that's what we had the first time. We had about 500. And so we thought, well, let's do it another year. And we wanted to try it at some bigger venue. We wanted to go 2 days. And this time we wanted to do it in the full spirit of the Maker experience. And we did a grassroots version of self-branded party, throwing a party for ourselves.
Right.
Big Nerd Fest. So it was a really exciting thing to do and a lot of fun. And that's what we have here today. So,
awesome. Yeah.
It certainly is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the central theme of it is that everybody here is doing what they love. They're being creative. They're self-reliant. They're fulfilled. They're sharing back, mm-hmm. And they're creating some really great things, and they're sharing it with other people. And that's what they all have in common. It's like, look, we like this. We make it. We share it. We do it. You want to do it too? So that's what's great about it.
Yeah. I really enjoy the community. It's the same. It's the same community and the same spirit that is First, mm-hmm. which is why this is so appropriate.
Right.
So appropriate for you, for
They're
sure.
My peeps. Indeed.
And I love how massively varied the exhibitors are.
Yeah, and that's we want to keep building that aspect of it. We really wanted to do the Heritage Crafters this year, and I want to bring more of them. We have the electric race cars mm-hmm. out front, Electrathon. We have the Ham Radio Club is here.
Yes.
With their stuff, and all of these are vital trades and skills and crafts and things that we need to keep America functioning. And one of the neat little tidbits you get from the ham radio people that I didn't know was that if like 10% of cell phones are in use at the same time or something, you have to get the exact details from them, but you need their communication system because all the other communication systems go down.
Yep.
Amazing stuff.
Absolutely. They're an interesting group, especially for Nick and I, who spent a number of years in retail for the company that is most associated with them. I won't say who, but and so we've interacted with that community a lot, and so it's really cool to have them here.
Right, and they're excited to have the younger people coming, because if you go to Hamfest and things like that, you don't have a huge youth crowd.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Doing it like this, you have a lot of younger kids that are coming in and saying, "What is this?" and getting to see it. So it's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm really enjoying the event. I'm glad that we're doing it. I'm glad you had us here.
Yeah, and we did. It has been fantastic. We have some great supporters doing it. Obviously, you met Gabatronics, he's one of the sponsors of the event. He's fantastic. Learning Is for Everyone was very nice to sponsor the venue. Hillsborough Economic Development Council gave us an EDI-2 grant for this. And it's because they believe in the power of this for economic development.
Right.
And this is where it's at, so we're very excited to be here. So thank you for having us again.
And absolutely.
And I'm sharing this with everybody.
I'm glad we get to do it. And all of the odd collection of exhibitors, almost all of them are going to be coming through today.
Yeah, it's going to be like a nerd circus.
It really is.
Yeah,
so.
it's more than three rings. It's definitely...
The whole big farmhouse.
Definitely more than three rings, and if everybody shows up for their times, it will be about 4 hours.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
And none of them like to talk too much, so, yeah.
None of them.
None of them.
Yeah, we might run till 8 o'clock.
Tonight. Yeah.
What time does this run till?
It closes at 6.
At 6? All right. Well, that's
when we're ending.
Okay. About when my thing ends,
okay.
So that works
all
out
right.
Well. And then... We're back here tomorrow, right? We're not necessarily back here broadcasting tomorrow.
No, the event goes on tomorrow, 10 to 6 again tomorrow.
10 to 6 tomorrow. And it's here at the Florida State Fairgrounds.
Yep.
So if you're in the Tampa, Orlando, Lakeland, Sarasota area, Florida State Fairgrounds tomorrow, 10 to 6.
Yep.
You can come see these things with your own eyes.
You get to see the furrier, you get to see the blacksmith, you get to see the electric race cars and the robots and the 3D printers and the gamers. So.
Absolutely.
Come play.
All righty.
All right.
Terry, as always, thank you. Thank
Maybe
you.
The next time I'll know how to do this. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
Bye-bye.
Great stuff.
It really is. I love this. This organization, the community is really what I mean. This community is really unique.
It is. But passionate.
But the thing that makes it both unique and... and wonderful,
yes.
Unique and wonderful is the fact that these people find a thing that they love.
They do.
And they do it. The same, it's the exact same spirit that Terry was talking about in herself. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, she finds out something, she goes, "Ooh, I want to do that," and she does it.
Yep.
It's the exact same. It's the exact same spirit that generates the whole community that we're sitting in right here today.
It is.
And we're going to get to explore that community all afternoon, which is pretty wonderful. And if you're watching live or not watching live, hashtag GCMakers.
Yeah.
Definitely Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you are, definitely talk about this. Our goal is to get that hashtag trending here in Tampa today. Let's see if we can do it.
Yep.
We've got somebody new sitting next to us.
Our first official guest, I guess.
Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Go ahead and introduce yourself for us.
I'm Teresa Morales, and I'm a teacher, and I do really fun science stuff.
Very cool. If I can get you to do me a favor and pull your microphone just a little closer to you, it's all bendy,
bendy
and such.
Bit, yeah. Get it right to you, and then everyone can hear you. And
got it.
Go.
Perfect.
Got it.
That'll work. All right. So you've brought something to us, which is wonderful. What have we got going on over here?
Well, this is actually a Sparks machine, and it's a data analyzer. And what it does is you can actually do science experiments with it and have some really cool stuff. The Sarasota Scientific Instruments goes into the schools and promotes hands-on learning with all these really cool, fun tools that we have. And this one will do all kinds of really cool stuff. Like this one has a pH sensor that is now hooked to it, and you can test pH. And usually what we do is we bring it to the classroom, and I'm a certified teacher, so we can go in and work with the curriculum and the teachers. We do teacher training and different things like that and have fun with science.
Well, you know, having fun with science is important. and that's a big theme for the weekend. And
that's
really great. So you're a certified teacher.
Yes.
And so you go, like, do schools contact you and you go wherever you're needed like a superhero?
Yeah, superhero. I love that. Yeah. I do. I work in Hillsborough and Pinellas County, and we have a whole catalog of equipment that we bring. The teachers can check it out if they want to use it, or I can come in and train them or do an activity with the kids, too.
Okay.
We do a lot of things like science fairs, and we follow the curriculum. So there's, you know, these are one things that we have, but we also have microscopes and a lot of physics things like cars and tracks and those kind of things that to introduce hands-on science to kids.
Sure, which is something that unfortunately has been cut from a lot of budgets.
Exactly. And Sarasota Scientific is very much about getting the equipment out there, getting the kids doing it, analyzing it, playing with the stuff, and actually, you know, figuring out how science works by using their hands and getting dirty with science.
And no amount of sitting down with a textbook quite does that
exactly
the way that cups of things and and probes and all the things that go into the hands-on stuff can really accomplish.
So this little experiment that I brought right here is we have a mystery liquid, and I tell the kids, okay, have you ever felt like you were going to throw up? And a lot of people can relate to that. Yeah, we've been there, done that. And so they'll just stick the probe in there, and they'll actually just they'll get this real cool, funky number. Like with this one, it's 10. That means that it's very, very basic. There's a lot of stuff in there. And I tell the kids, you know, we want to be healthy. We want our body to be around 7. We want our stomach to be around 7. And so they get the choice of putting vinegar or baking soda in there to get this number down to 7. And so they'll be pouring in a little vinegar because I tell them the vinegar is about 3, so that's going to make your number go down. The baking soda is about 8 or 9. It may make your number go up. And you can also put water in here, too, but water takes a long time.
Right.
So you'll see them pour the vinegar in, and then they'll stick the probe back in, and they'll test it. Oh, I'm almost there. I'm almost at 7. And then if they go, you know, if they put in too much, now all of a sudden your number is 5. Now it's like, oh, now what do we got to do? We got to get it back up to 7. So they play this experimenting with it and figuring out what they're doing kind of thing.
Very nice.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's keeping them engaged on so many levels.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And what's really cool is that you can adapt this to whatever the learning style of the child. I mean, a lot of them won't understand pH if they're too young, but they'll understand that they've had stomach aches and those kind of things.
Sure.
And how the medicine is actually making them feel better and things like that.
Very
really cool.
And it's very much creating an environment where they're thinking, oh, I put too much, now what do I got to do? Or I may ask them a question like, like, okay, your number is 10 and you want it at 7. Are you going to add or subtract? So we're adding math in there,
okay,
and analytical skills and everything like that. So
very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to have, you know, a teacher or somebody wanted to have you come out and bring whatever equipment it is,
yeah, yeah,
that they need for a lesson, how do they get a hold of you?
They can contact me by tmorales79@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
And just say that, or they can come out to MakerCon and actually try my little experience. So
it's a call to action right there. You got to come out.
Yeah, come out and try the pH. And tomorrow I may have a little dry ice or something. We may do something with CO2 or something.
Ooh,
like that. So
that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So now, if ever there was something to encourage somebody to come out here, come play with a dry ice experiment.
Right.
Yeah, we'll do ghost bubbles, which is really, really cool. So you get these bubbles that look like ghosts, that they have ghosts inside of them. So, yeah. So come out. Check it
Fascinating.
Out.
Fascinating.
Absolutely.
You have gotten Carla excited over there. She's like, wait, I can do what? Why is that not here today?
Yeah, come play with my little toys, my little scientific instruments, and play with dry ice and ghost bubbles. So very, very cool.
So is the organization a nonprofit or is it a corporation?
It's a nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit.
Yeah, and so everything that goes into the schools, the equipment, the teachers can check out for free.
Okay.
My services going in there is free too, so everything's free for Hillsborough and Pinellas teachers, and not only teachers in schools, but club activity kind of things, you know, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts,
nice.
Y clubs, and, you know, homeschools also are included in that too. So, you know, anybody who wants to do science and hands-on stuff, we have the equipment and the knowledge how to do it.
The homeschool aspect is really important.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole world that's unique.
Exactly.
And would be difficult to have.
Yeah.
The ability to do this type of stuff.
And yep. A lot of them, they probably don't have the equipment and maybe not the know-how to actually do science that would engage the kids. So, yeah, you know, here's a great opportunity for come out and, you know, talk to me and we can arrange something and that kind of stuff. So
sure, that's really great.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, we're certainly glad that you're here.
Yes.
At MakerCon. We're glad that you're able.
Thank you for inviting us.
Glad that you were here on the show and we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love the organization. What a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun, and we're getting science out there, which is really cool.
That's the important part.
It really is important.
And who knows? You know, maybe we'll have the next Nobel Peace Prize winner or something.
You never know. Because, you know, if the kids don't have exposure to it, they don't know that it's something that they want to do.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, we work with one of the robotics teams.
Yeah.
Back here, who will be on in a little while.
And oh, very cool!
And one of the team members, who's actually sitting right here by us, is thinking about has focused in her career choice based on
very cool
exposure.
Yeah, so, very, very cool.
Yeah, it's
very
really
cool.
Great.
So. Cool.
All right,
thanks.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Awesome.
It really is.
So I'm going to throw out a call to action.
So Pinellas and Hillsborough.
Yes, very good. Call to action real quick.
Okay.
Everyone watching at home, live right now. How's the sound going? Is it good? Is it bad? Let me know. I need to know. So just tell us in the chat room. Just let us know. If it's good, then yay. I don't have to worry about anything. If it's not, I'm going to get up off this chair and fix a couple things. But I think we're okay.
Okay,
and,
well, so far Danielle has not said anything about the sound being too low or anything.
There's some conversation happening this way. I'm trying to address it. Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
If it seems good
for you so far, Danielle? Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. She's
cool.
Just changing headphones probably because it's getting louder around us.
No worries.
No problem.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm just checking in with people that are texting me and making sure I'm getting more than just a couple of opinions.
Absolutely. And
this is good.
Danielle's just listening on a phone next to us.
We got
her
we
volume
got
sounds
great
pretty
group
good,
of
so good.
Support around here tonight, which
Indeed.
I love. Tonight, I keep saying tonight.
I know because we're used
count?
To doing this at 9 o'clock.
Can I say
so
that? Is
sure.
That okay?
Say tonight.
Tonight.
It's 2:45, but we'll say tonight.
Feels like nighttime.
The last couple special events that we've done have been robotics events, and for the most part, we've only had the opportunity to talk to a number of FRC teams.
Yes.
Despite the fact that we were heavily involved in the FTC program this year.
It's been our theme. I don't know why.
But it's okay. We've talked to a couple of FTC teams, and the good news is we've got some more of them here today. So we get to talk to some people we haven't gotten to talk to before. He's good? Okay, excellent. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Kinnad. I am part of the FTC team, Neutrinos, team 6433.
Fantastic. And we've gotten to spend some time with you guys over the season.
Yeah. So,
how did your season go this year?
This season has gone pretty well for us. So far, our team has qualified to go to the international championships.
Nice. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. So it's been stressful, but it's worth it in the end.
So San Antonio must have gone well for you.
Yeah.
Which, for those watching who don't know, San Antonio was the super regional, which is the level above state before the big competition.
Yeah.
So that went well for you?
Yes.
How did you do there?
We ended up having to be a finalist after we were selected from the captains.
Very nice.
Of the winners. So we happened to be a robotic finalist, and that qualified us to go to Worlds.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on
that.
How long have you been involved in the program?
This is my second year.
Second year?
In first. And I enjoy
Isn't
it.
Isn't that weird to say? Second year in first?
Yeah.
Strange.
Yes. Yes.
What got you into it?
Well, a friend of mine, he was already in the in the Neutrinos. He basically said, hey, you like robotics? You can join our team. So then I decided to give it a shot, and I enjoy it now. So
what grade are you in?
I'm now in ninth.
In ninth. Cool. And you're gonna stick around?
For quite a while, yeah.
Excellent. And then after you graduate, are you going to stick around with us?
Yes, I'm planning on becoming like a mentor or something.
Excellent. Fantastic. It's really fun to have former team members as part of the mentoring process. Has FIRST helped you focus on what you might want to do as a career?
Yes. Before, I was never really sure what I would do when I grew up, like whether to become a doctor or work as like an astronaut. Well, Obama ruined the astronaut thing for
me. Well, that's
true.
Yeah.
But like now, I want to go toward more in engineering.
Okay.
So because of FIRST and because I got that firsthand basis on how to work with stuff like wiring and programming and building.
Sure.
So
you're interested in the physical aspect of engineering?
Yeah, I also like to program and work on like planning and stuff.
Cool. Do you spend more time on the hardware or the software on the team right now?
I spend more time on the software part.
On the software?
Yes.
Cool. That's actually my personal aspect, so I can appreciate that. We actually mentor one of the teams on software, so that's pretty.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Oh. Well, what are the plans for the World Competition?
Well, we are currently making a new and improved robot.
Okay.
That's going to be like a whole different scale than the robot that we used in Super Regionals.
Okay.
So we are now working hard at that. That's the reason the whole team couldn't be here today. Like only two people. The rest of the team, they're right now currently working on a robot.
Understood.
So
how much time do you have before that competition?
Well, we have like about 6 to 8 hours per week.
Okay.
On working on Saturdays, and then we also have meetings every Wednesday. So.
And then when is the competition itself?
April 23rd.
All right, so that's coming up pretty quick.
Yes.
You're gonna hit the deadline?
Yes. We're almost done.
You're not concerned about it. You're gonna hit it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We're gonna have a robot working by then.
Excellent. Well, good luck.
Yep.
Yes.
In the world competition, we definitely want a winner out of Florida.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we're hoping on that too.
All right. Good luck.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for coming and talking to us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
It's a cool opportunity to get to talk to an FTC team. We got to talk to Super 7 at the last one, ironically, at the FRC competition. We had the opportunity to talk to an FTC team who also went to the Super Regionals.
Right.
Did not have the same story to tell, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
They had a bit of a weird situation
it's okay,
behind
though.
Them, but it's okay. They did well. it was their first time in FTC. They did really well. And we've got the Neutrinos, who are an established team, going to the world competition. Very exciting.
It is. It's really cool.
So one of the things that we've talked about is the kind of all-encompassing, I want to do something and I'm going to do it nature of the maker community.
That's what I love about it, yeah. It's the best part.
And sitting next to us now, we have somebody who certainly embodies that. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Chuck. I'm from the Tampa maker scene, the Community Innovation Center, and the MakerCon, and mostly of my workbench and my soldering iron at home in my living room.
And that right there really sums up what I was saying about I want to do something, and I'm going to do it. You have a soldering iron in your living room, not necessarily, you know, in a small corner of the garage. It's really a part of you, a big part of who you are, right?
Yeah. I have a very patient wife. Let's just say that. I was doing a hangout on Google Hangout the other day with some of the folks from Make, and somebody made the comment of, wow, your workshop looks really awesome. And I panned the camera around and showed them the TV and the couch and everything. I said, this isn't my workshop. This is my living room. So I think I struck jealousy in some people's hearts and disgust in others, depending on where they sit on that side of the fence.
Whether that's the dream or
the nightmare.
The indication of a sickness.
My wife falls asleep to the smell of solder fumes and tweaky pretty much every night.
She's
a maker widow.
You mentioned the Community Innovation Center.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of involvement in that, but I would like your take on that. Explain to those who don't know what that is, why it's so interesting.
Okay, I get to practice my elevator pitch. Basically, it's a makerspace and an entrepreneurial center. We want to help people discover their creativity, discover their skills, and share those things. And those that want to take it to the next level and become not just makers but producers, you know, we want to help them along that lines too. Like Gabriel with Gabotronics is a perfect example of someone who's taken a maker product and turned it into a business. And it's a pretty successful and amazing product. And we really want to be cheerleaders for that. We want to see people transition from makers to producers without losing track of what it is to be a maker. The community is the most important thing, and the money should come second. And we really want to instill that the community is the focus of what we do.
And it's right there in the name.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And I love that the message, especially coming from people who are doing this, you know, we cover it and we, you know, we are on the software side, but the tinkerers themselves, the message is, if you like to do something, do it. Just go do it.
That's
it. And now we have a place for you to do that.
And let me tell you, I'm 42. I grew up in the 80s where there was no internet. If you wanted to know how to do something, you had to subscribe to a hobbyist magazine that came in once a month and trickled information, or you had to go to the library and parse through stacks of books. You know, here's the perfect example, and this is, I've told this story many times today, but one of the things I brought today was an Arduino project. And I started fooling around with the Arduino a long time ago, about 9 o'clock Saturday morning. I've had an Arduino sitting on my bench for months, and it was so daunting, the idea of learning a programming language. So it's just sat there, and I had this program with Make coming up with introduction to the new Intel Galileo board. And I usually work with the programmer, but with everything going on, there was time constraints.
Sure.
So we were doing our hangout in the final show and tell on Thursday. So Saturday morning, I was like, well, I better learn to program this thing or I'm going to be embarrassed. So I went from installing the Blink sketch on Saturday morning to having a four-mirror controllable laser spirograph last night that I showed. And that's the key to this maker thing, is that what used to take weeks and weeks and sometimes months of troubleshooting, I ran into problems several times with this project that I could just go to the other side of the desk, click, 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 and there was the solution.
Right.
And there's a shift in the information economy right now.
Okay.
Whereas information used to be scarce, you know, it was definitely a seller's market. Now it's a buyer's market. The information's there. There is no reason not to do what you want to do. If you want to program a computer, the resources are there. economics also are no longer a barrier to these things. Stuff that used to take lots of money for an upstart company, now by using crowdsourced open source projects, you can really knock out a huge amount of your R&D. The Chinese manufacturing sector has really come on board with the let's work with the smaller manufacturers. So as before, where you might have to order 10 to 20 to 30,000 units, you can do a rollout product with 500 to 1,000 units.
Right.
And it's just accessible. And people like Bunny Wong have really made inroads into making this possible. The maker scene, it goes hand in hand with the information age, and it's a natural offshoot.
And the ability for a community to form around it
yes.
encourages the collaboration and the ability for, you know, a company to figure out how to small mass produce a run instead of having to do a full production run.
And you touched on something important. Collaboration is key with this. There's always been, and there's been a debate online. There's some people out there who really don't know what making is, and there's some people out there who have seen some of the more visible proponents of the maker scene.
Sure.
And there's kind of the takeaway in some certain circles that it's a bunch of hipsters blinking LEDs with Arduinos. And, you know, to an extent,
there is some of that.
Does happen. But the difference, and one of the arguments they make is that, well, people of interest, they're hobbyists. And hobbyists have always gotten together to discuss what they do.
Right.
Sure.
The difference is, and what you said, is the cooperation. Makers are polymaths. Let me tell you, I paint in acrylics, I sculpt, I do metalwork, I do electronics, I play music, I cook. That's what a maker's about. Whereas before, the ham radio guys had their meeting over here,
right.
And the automotive guys got over here. The makerspace is about the ham radio guys talking to the automotive guys, who talk to the robot guys, who talk to the microcontroller guys. One of the most amazing things I've seen lately is someone has a project where they're working on an open source car computer.
Okay.
So if the central control computer of your car dies, you can replace it with an open source programmable thing. My dad recently put a chip in his car that changes how the engine runs and makes it run faster. I'm not a car guy. But the whole idea with this...
Is the one thing that you're not into? Is that
you know, you can only do so much in a day.
Fair enough.
But the whole idea of this is that rather than replace that chip, you have a whole open source computer in your car that you plug in a USB port, and you can change parameters like the timing, like the fuel mixture, like how the brakes respond. And that wouldn't have happened 20 years ago where the car guys were here and the computer guys were here. That collaboration is what really defines the maker culture, where I can look around this room and see my friends who are videographers, roboticists, artists, and it really brings it all together, and that's really amazing to be a part of and to be on the ground floor of.
A friend of ours, who's actually a mutual friend of our next interview, he's a software guy, that's who he is, and at some point he decided he wanted to make a quadcopter.
Right.
And so he did. He learned everything there was to know about aviation and Virtual Horizons and all of that stuff, and he built a quadcopter. I think it's powered by two Netduinos, so similar to an Arduino, but with the Microsoft backend. He can control it from his Windows 8 tablet.
Yeah.
And he built the whole communication line as well. And it's truly impressive. I've seen it in action. It tried to kill me one time.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. That happened.
And it really is an interesting piece of hardware. And if he hadn't had exposure to the Netduino or something, he never would have tried it.
Yeah, and it's that open source and sharing and cross-collaboration that's really the key to what we do. As the great Robert Heinlein said, specialization is for ants. And we're not ants. We're people. You know, if you reach a certain age and you don't know how to do at least 5 or 6 different things, you've somehow wasted your opportunities.
I totally agree. One of the things we talk about, with the first program, with the robotics program, I was in FRC long ago. And the things that the FTC kids, the robots that are here right now, the things that they were asked to do in the challenge this year, MIT couldn't have done
right.
when I was right. in the program. And so I was like, wow, these little things are going to do what? And I keep saying that it's all about the compound knowledge. It's the fact that they have the ability to pass it on from team to team that everything gets better, and it's the same right. thing in the makerspace. So
I think of it like the classic Japanese pachinko machine, where you drop the ball on the top and it bounces off the pins. Those pins are ideas and experiences. So you have that initial germ of an idea, you drop it in the top of the machine, and it bounces off of, and then it ends right. up in the right slot in the bottom. And that's kind of how the maker brain works versus the traditional style of design, where it's more of a solid path, you know?
Right.
That bouncing around, that little bit of chaos with all the different influences is what puts that output that's so impressive.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, we appreciate you coming and talking to us. Probably the most interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Because you really are all over the place. That's one of the things that that Terry talked about, and one of the reasons we really wanted to talk to you today.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for
appreciate
having me.
Appreciate you coming by.
Absolute pleasure.
And keep making stuff. The future's bright.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
He is such an interesting guy.
Oh, man.
He had a when I ran into him earlier.
Yep.
He's got a music box thing that he built. It's it's using actually jumpers. Just you know.
Yeah.
Alligator clip jumpers. There's 42 of them, I think he said. And you hook them up. They create certain patterns, and boom, music comes out.
Right.
I was so impressed by
it's
it.
It's crazy.
And that's what happens when you're into both technology
right.
and music and art and painting and all of those things. You think of crazy projects like that. Now, the Community Innovation Center is not the only get-together of creative individuals in the Tampa area. And we've got somebody here to talk about another one. If you pull the mic a little closer, because it's loud over here.
A little loud.
And then go ahead and introduce yourself.
Let me move this forward a little bit. There we go. Well, I'm John Adair. I'm a board member of Tampa Hackerspace.
Close okay.
my audio.
It's a little...
Still soft?
Yeah.
Three up. We'll raise it up. No worries.
All right.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm a co-founder of Tampa Hackerspace. We actually met at the Mini Maker Fair that LA4E hosted last year.
Okay.
At this time. So we started, we kind of took over from a group that had begun about a year and a half earlier. They never really got a space open. They never quite got things going. We met up, got a team together at that Mini Maker Fair last year. Went throughout the summer without actually having a space. Back in August, we moved into a that is loud. We moved into a space downstairs from Cowork Tampa in kind of West Tampa area, and we've been running ever since. We started with about 8 members. We grew pretty quickly to about 15. We are about 35 now.
Nice.
That's paying members every month.
Awesome.
That's how we pay rent. We
sure.
Then on top of that, we run classes. We got about 150 people that kind of regularly come to something, maybe once a month or so. We got about 700 people in the Tampa area that are in a Facebook group and constantly talking about making stuff. We've really grown.
Very
and
cool.
I know it's just the beginning. We're already feeling that our space is tiny. We want to keep growing. We ran a Kickstarter campaign, raised over $16,000 to buy some new equipment.
Awesome. Very cool.
We're working out some grant money to do some much bigger things. And we've got 2 3D printers in the shop. We bought a small CNC machine. We're building up our electronics lab. So it's the shop is coming together, and we've got a lot more money to spend and buy some cool things and keep growing. And I mean, it's something we sat here. I mean, it's something we've been talking about in the Tampa area with Terry Willingham, Life, everybody else.
Right.
We see all these other cities with spaces. And we knew there was room for one in Tampa.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, having one open, there's room for a lot in the Tampa area. There's a lot of demand, and it just keeps showing up week after week after week. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what we're doing. I'm excited to see other spaces going up and keep growing and do different things. And there'll be overlap, but, I mean, there's going to be a lot of differentiation. Everybody's going to have a 3D printer. I mean, they're so cheap. They're so fun. You can do such amazing things with them. Maybe not everybody's going to have a nice big laser cutter, but or CNC machine, but
and that's okay.
And that's okay, but I mean, 3D printing is amazing. It's also very, very slow. So having a lot of printers around is very
it's
handy.
A good thing, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them literally right behind us here, and we've had the opportunity to watch them in action.
Yeah. I mean, there's a great space hopefully going up in St. Pete this year. Hopefully, and really our biggest challenge has been finding real estate. I mean, finding a landlord that'll deal with you and and put up with what you're gonna do and understand that you're a nonprofit and I mean, you don't have a long financial history, and then we grow rapidly. I mean, you can't go in and sign a 3-year lease on something that you're gonna outgrow in 8 months.
Right, so, that's true.
But yeah, we've grown. We teach probably about 6 classes a month on a good month. We teach an introduction to Arduino, an electronics class, a soldering class. We have a CAD for 3D printing class.
Nice.
We have a software-defined radio class with a little TV tuner that you can do different radio reception on. And then the one that fills up right away every time we offer it is lock picking as a sport. There's a lock
nice.
Sport group here in the Tampa Bay getting formed, and these guys that are into computer security are very into lock picking, and it's been a very popular class. And I'll tell you what, kids love it.
I can bet.
part of the class is to talk about legal aspects of it and make sure that you're obeying the law and understand what you can do. But it's a fun little learning thing. I mean, it's very much part of the MIT hacker curriculum from the early days of the idea of hacking at MIT.
Right.
I mean, lock picking has been a very big thing at MIT, so we continue to do that.
We for a while had a box of locks and equipment at the office.
It is not easy.
It's not.
It's not. And it's very easy to show you locks that cannot be picked. I mean, the guy that teaches the class has a box full of locks that he can't even come close to picking. So yeah, it's not that hard to get a pick-proof lock. But but a typical master padlock or a door lock, they're pretty easy. So it's been fun. It's been quite a journey. I mean, we've been very honest with people that there's going to be bumps in the road as you grow, and we're learning. We keep offering a little bit of kids programming and trying to learn what to do with kids programming. And parents have a lot of interest in coming to kids programming, but we're looking for more parents interested in helping us run kids programming.
Yes.
Yeah,
explain
that's...
Explain what they want. And
as somebody who's also involved in the first program, you know how hard it can be to
get the right
type of mentoring and
such. I have to say, one of our challenges as we went through the fall is that a lot of us are involved in First Robotics, so that tied up our weekends.
Right.
It's a fantastic program, but it takes some time. I mean, I'm really excited. I mean, we've loved doing First Robotics. I mean, that's where a lot of us actually got together when we started Tampa Actors Space, is as First Robotics mentors. So
very cool.
To go on and do that for other things with kids and now do some Arduinos with kids.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just got a fairly large grant to do some Arduino classes for underprivileged youth in the Tampa Bay area. And then we're matching that with some other grant money to go out and do even more. So it's an exciting time for adults and kids. I mean, it's
So the organization is successful. It's growing rapidly.
It's been self-sustaining. That
is important.
We're trying to pay our regular expenses with membership dues and classes. And then grant money goes towards capital expenditures like equipment. So And our Kickstarter has gone almost entirely to capital expenditures as well. So
sure.
It's been fun. We actually had... So one of the early things we did at Tampa Actors Space is we had a quadcopter meetup where we got a couple of guys together that have been involved in quadcopters. I think you guys know Kevin Wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Kevin, I was dying for Kevin to get together with some other friends of mine that have done quadcopters. I'm like, I want you guys to all get together and talk quadcopters.
Sure.
So we had one night where we had 6 different people with different quadcopters all to get together and talk. And I'm like, looking at this room, and there's these 3 guys I've been trying to get together for 2 years to talk about quadcopters all in one room. talking about quadcopters, going out inside and flying their quadcopters. One guy, Ed Scott, has a fully autonomous takeoff to landing GPS controlled autonomous quad. Where, yeah, it's actually a hexcopter. He went out and flew a GPS path and came back and landed. So to have him talk to Kevin, who builds his own flight controllers,
right,
and to Nick, who's into battery technology and videography, I mean, it's just amazing. It was just like an idea of the potential that's in this community.
Right.
And then we had another early meeting where we had one. We used to have people go around the room and introduce themselves and talk about what they're into. And
sure.
One guy's like, "Well, I'm into aquaponics." I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of interesting." And then I got, "Well, me too." And then this guy's like, "Yeah, I actually have an aquaponics system in my backyard growing stuff." And these guys, and I was like, three guys that are serious hardcore aquaponics people all getting together and talking. I'm like, this is what a hackerspace makerspace is about.
Yeah.
Is getting these people together in a space and having them have these conversations and then building stuff and learning and
right,
and then teaching classes to other people that don't know it, that want to learn it.
That are interested in it. Yeah. It's what we were just talking about with Chuck, is the ability for people with either very similar or incredibly divergent
right,
ideas to come together into one place to be able to share those crazy ideas together. And like you said, with the quadcopter, we actually talked about Kevin Wolf.
Yeah, we did.
And you know, the ability for them to share the different aspects of what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they can come together.
Right. And I mean, Kevin can talk about his flight controller to a room of .NET people. And they're like, "Oh, that's really neat." They don't really even understand it. But when he's in a room full of quadcopter people and they go, "You built your own flight controller
board? You did
board?
What?
You soldered the entire thing?
Yeah.
You reflow ovened it?" And these guys are like fascinated that he built his own board to begin with. And they really understand the complexity of what he did.
Yep.
That's eye-opening.
Yeah.
So
you decided that you were going to learn everything there is to know about aviation.
Right.
It's just in your own time.
And do it yourself.
Just
yeah,
because.
Yeah, and then Kevin's learning stuff like Ed has put his quadcopter in the water several times. And he's learned the difficult learning process of diving down to the bottom of a lake to get a quadcopter out of the water. So
the
now he has
experience.
Self-inflating flotation devices on it that inflate when it hits the water. So he can recover it if it never goes in the water again.
Nice.
So him sharing that, now all these guys know to put floats on their, what floats they can get in case they're flying over water. And now we have a guy at the hackerspace that does he actually has a waterproof quadcopter that he can go out in a boat and throw it out in the water and take off from the water.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fly it into the water, take off from the water again, and he can shoot all video from GoPro cameras that are all waterproof.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And do, like, amazing things.
Yeah.
So
that, I love that.
Quadcopters, I mean,
I want to go see that.
I mean,
right?
Huge revolution. I mean, quadcopters and 3D printing, I thought this Christmas a lot of kids are going to be, 3D printing is coming to the homes this Christmas. Quadcopters are very close to being in the homes this Christmas. I mean, we know a few people that have them at home. By this Christmas, I think a lot of people are going to have them.
Now, Chris Willingham is running around here. Have you seen his little one?
No, he's got the little quad.
Honest to God, it's a quadcopter. It's I don't think it's any bigger than that.
Is it like the one that Kelvin flies into everybody?
I don't know.
Should I make fun of Kelvin? Kelvin's hit me with his little micro quadcopter.
Has he? I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen Kelvin's, but I know. Oh, Chris has been right behind us most of the afternoon.
Driving around on his robot, flying his little quadcopter.
Yes. For those of you who have been watching since before on the air, Chris was the one on the little robotic chair that went behind us.
Right, which, he built a big enough robot that he can ride it.
Yeah. Fortunately, he himself is very small.
Right.
I don't necessarily know that it would support probably anybody on our team.
But if you're going to build a robot.
Luckily, he's pretty small, so he has the capability of doing that. But, yeah, that totally inspired by FIRST. And the same thing. You know, they get to talk, a group of kids get to talk to each other about their crazy ideas and their divergent interests. And he ends up making a wheelchair, kind of, that is really cool.
I mean, Chris is a fantastic example of a kid that grew up in FIRST Robotics.
Yeah.
We've known the Willinghams probably for, at least 10 years now, and seeing Chris grow up, go through first Lego League when we first met him, and then the very first year at Team Duct Tape, we used to go out and watch Team Duct Tape events and see them compete and see Chris go from a kid that comes to here to a kid that's about here on me and see Chris grow into a software developer and build his own robot, I mean, that he can ride on. And, I mean, see a kid like that grow up first, and I mean, that's why I'm such a big fan of FIRST Robotics. I mean, you're a kid that grew up in FIRST.
I am.
So it's that's a fantastic program and something that we continue to support out of Tampa Hackerspace as much as we can. I mean,
it's good. We do too. We mentor Team Duct Tape.
Right. So, I mean, FIRST Robotics is a fantastic program.
I'm so glad that we've gotten the opportunity to be part of it. I'm glad that you're a part of it.
Keep growing. I mean, we've done some stuff to help grow it in Pasco. We're going to keep doing it and more. And I would love to see every school have it.
I know. And the thing that I really like about FTC, which is, you know, the league that we're involved in, is the fact that so much of it is community based.
Yeah. Right.
And you go out and do outreach.
So you don't have to have a school behind you. Team Duct Tape is a great example of that.
Right.
For those of you watching, I keep pointing at a member of Team Duct Tape who happens to be sitting just to our left.
Yeah. If you're listening, if you're listening, you just look weird.
It's true.
Or you sound weird.
They're a community team.
My daughter's been on a community team, two different community teams for 3 years now, and they run out of a garage and a Dremel tool, a drill press, a couple Allen wrenches, and, I mean, you can kind of make it work. You can do very well with it.
Absolutely.
Community teams, and honestly, I found that a lot of community teams do better than school teams. So
they
tend to be a little tighter and work a little harder, and kids are involved.
And they don't have the odd rules that the schools have about when they can and can't meet.
Right, when Christmas break happens,
that's
when they buckle down and get a lot done. When Christmas break happens for a school team,
right. They
tend not to
get
a lot of things done.
That's it. Right. They can't.
So they have a hard time.
It's something that we've encountered while interacting with FTC is that there's one Hillsboro team in particular who has a lot of trouble because they're not really allowed to meet kind of at all.
Right.
And there's the one team that basically meets in a janitorial trash heap.
Right. I have a lot of respect for teams. I mean, we've met a couple teams over the year where it's basically a kid at the school that went out and started the team and got a teacher to sign off on paper as being the advisor.
Right.
And the kid runs the team. And I'm like, you're my hero to sit down and make that all work as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to do as an adult. So.
And to make the decision, this is something I want to do, and I'm gonna make this happen, period. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and I kind of wish there was a way to leverage Minecraft more and more to get kids. I mean, I've seen it over there today. I have a large, almost like kid-size Minecraft creeper that comes up to here on me that's made out of cardboard, and kids walk up to it, and they're so excited. 19 out of 20 boys and maybe 1 out of 3 girls are just diehard Minecraft players. They're just so into it, and I'm always pointing out, do you build things in redstone? Do you do, like, look at creative builds? And
right.
Do you understand? I mean, have you done command blocks yet? And, like, we're always trying to push kids. And I think we've had a lot of interest out of the Tampa Hackerspace of doing Minecraft classes for kids and for parents. Parents are struggling to keep up with their kids and know what their kids are doing and help their kids do
things. That can certainly be a problem.
Right. And, I mean, there's some fantastic curriculums out there, and we're hoping to try to develop some stuff. And that's a fantastic way to reach boys, especially.
Yeah.
Girls, surprisingly large number of girls play Minecraft, but boys are so into it.
And it's a good change. And
you
being in the software world with us.
Well, how did you get your start programming? What machine?
Me personally in programming was on a...
you're a PC probably from
Dell 486.
All right, yeah. So I got started on an Atari 400 and then a Commodore 64.
Okay.
Before we ever had a MS-DOS machine.
Now, to be fair, I did also have access to some of those.
So the Commodore 64.
I didn't have the ability. The
entire generation of computer programmers grew up on Commodore 64.
Yep.
Right.
I hope an entire generation of computer programmers grew up on Minecraft. I hope that really inspires them to go out and do stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, and they've seen the success that can come from somebody that's passionate and builds a product that they're passionate about that honestly is not a fantastic polished product. Minecraft is a little rough. But so many people see it, and it's not the most efficient game, but people love it. He's done very well.
And there's some really interesting things that you can do. Shortly after it became a known thing, you know, somebody built an 8-bit processor.
Right. Yeah, full
in the game.
GPU, people are building all kinds of crazy things out of it, and I'm just always pushing kids to do a little more and understand Redstone and go do those things, and it's a fantastic time. I mean, we had a great time to be a kid. Imagine growing up with a 3D printer in your house.
I know, right?
Minecraft servers, and I mean, like we have an Oculus Rift floating around the hackerspace, and you put that thing on, and you play, I mean, the unofficial Minecraft ports.
Right.
And you see what, I mean, just imagine what kids are going to grow up on, and the speed of the computers. And
yeah, it's definitely an interesting place to be, an interesting time to be. Yeah, for sure. Well, John, we really appreciate you coming with us.
Good to see you guys.
It's always good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming and talking to us.
Appreciate it. Yep. All right. Thank you.